It's a new year, new me I want to be. A version of myself I've yet to see. A canvas clean with colours bright, a soul renewed, a heart alight. I'll shed the old like autumn leaves and rise again, more bold, more free. The past is gone, but lessons stay to guide me on a brighter way. I'll chase my dreams, no fear, no doubt, and let my inner strength pour out. No longer bound by yesterday, I'll carve a path, come what may. New year, new me, a chance to grow, a future waiting, all aglow. With every step I'll find my way and bloom into the light of day. The song is apt, keep on it. Dancing shoes on, I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness, right here on UK Health Radio. So we are already into the second show of 2025. How you doing? Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And this week I am blessed once again to speak with Angela Rippon, and we speak about the symptoms of dementia. And I agreed to this show because dementia doesn't discriminate between age or sex. And for women, when we have these high stress jobs, when we have these pressures in relationships, when we have these our own pressures in self-worth and self-loathing, dementia is right there, just knocking on the door, waiting for you to open up. And I'm sitting right here, my mum next to me, as you know, with her dementia, totally bedbound, non-verbal. So it's a subject dear to my own heart, and one that I try to encourage women, because we're the nurturers, we're the child bearers, we're the life givers in relationships, and we bring life into the world, to want to protect the memory that you have, so that you look at your children and never forget that you created them, you carried them, and you brought them into this world. A happy tune, but it's a happy topic. Even in the midst of the circumstance, you can create memories that will last you a lifetime. So we are into the first full week, and we're coming through towards the end of, or midway through, the first full week in January 2025. Some parts of the country in the UK have snow. Some parts just have, like now I'm looking out the window, beautiful bright sunshine, lovely blue skies. But man, you need hat, scarf, gloves, thermal socks, heat warmers. You need it all. The central heating is on. And then there are some of you who are listening to me around the world and you're like, cold? What cold? What? You know, 16 degrees is cold. 20 degrees is cold. We don't have that. We have such a fluctuation. But what we do know is a winter, for our winter, that's not the time to start to grow. There's a whole thing of recognizing when the new year really started, because it starts when things start to grow. So my thing is, with the 60-day journeys, the workshops, the online Swiss ball class, when I used to train when I was younger, I used to hide my body away. I put it into hibernation. just like a bear will go into hibernation, just like a caterpillar turns into a little chrysalis before it becomes that beautiful transformation of the gorgeous butterfly. And what I would do is I would go to the gym, but I would wear 2-3 sweatshirts, really baggy trousers. I would just hide myself underneath. But whilst I was hiding, there was a transformation happening. There was a transition going on. There was something new that would spring forth and then be enjoyed totally in the summer. So I invite you to do the same thing. I invite you to be able to come out in the summer, in the spring, and be able to be blessed, to be able to be visualized. We look at things and we're not really sure what they are, but you know, when I lose spoken word as well to help as metaphors, but it's true. You don't know what you don't know until the moment it starts to show, a truth unspoken, a hidden key locked away where you cannot see. The world is wide, the path unclear. You wander blind year after year. You've got no plans, right? Then suddenly, with eyes now wide, the knowledge floods from deep inside. The gaps, the shadows, they disappear, replaced by light, both sharp and sheer. And in that clarity, you start to find all at once, or all you once lacked, sorry, now fills your mind. But once you know, the cycle set, for there's still more you haven't met. So onward, always we seek and grow, for we do not know what we do not know. This is why it's so good. You know, you go to school, you learn, but actually the biggest school you're in 24/7, as long as you have breath, is the school of life. And as long as you have the school of life and you use your life experiences, mistakes are lessons to be learned and paths to adjust. So it's great. You can't go through your life not failing. Remember, fail simply means first attempt in learning. So once you're prepared to fail, once you're prepared to make mistakes, that's how you grow, that's how you learn, and that's how you know. So we put these things together. And when it comes to our memory, when it comes to our vitality, when it comes to the emotions that we attach to the memories we experience, the most important thing we can do is protect our memory. And we do that in a number of different ways. We want to understand brain health, and we want to start to understand how our brain works. We want to understand the part of the brain that creates the emotion, the part of the brain that attaches the emotion to the experience, and the part of the brain that stores the memory, the experience. So you're looking at the hypothalamus, you're looking at the hippocampus, and you're looking at the amygdala. And all three of those parts are the parts of the brain that we want to protect. And the hippocampus is where the memories are. It's the last part of the brain that starts to die off. So when we look at brain food, when we look at the left side of the brain, the right side of the brain, we look at things we can do to help ourselves, we start to understand brain health better. So I want to carry on with that after the interview. But just before I play the trail, the next 60-day challenge starts on the 13th of Jan. So I moved it back a week because I had some things in the family that I needed to sort out. But it starts on the 13th of Jan. And what's a really important thing for me just to reiterate here is this. You can measure cost in many ways. And then you can look at the returns on your investments. Your health is not a cost, it's an investment. It's something you have to invest in and keep on investing. But sickness should not be something you chase. Sorry, health should not be something you chase when sickness moves in. Health should be something you invest into so that sickness doesn't have the chance to move in. And if there is a little break in where you are and sickness attempts to move in, you can block its attempts to fully manifest. So your recovery is much faster. That's called your immune system. So there is a horrible cold going around right now. Everyone's coughing and spluttering and doing whatever. You need to know what things you can put into your body to overcome those things. But when it comes to, and what's most important, is our ability to be able to attach emotions to experiences that we store, We want to make sure we are attaching emotions to experiences we store for our good, and that we do things so that we can make sure that, and I mentioned this from way last year, that research showed that by 2040, the instances of Alzheimer's would increase by 49%. We want to make sure we are not a part of that study or statistic. So let's play a trail, then let's listen to the wonderful Angela Rippon and Suzanne Mumford from Care UK.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, so let me speak to you first, Suzanne. What has your you've commissioned to study, and what have you found?
Well, what's really interesting about our findings, Jenny, is that last year only around 24% of people surveyed felt confident they'd be able to recognise the symptoms of dementia, and this year we've identified 44%. So there's a real upturn in people's knowledge and understanding around dementia and the symptoms they might be looking for. However, we also recognise that those people still feel that they need more education and support. And lots of people, as you mentioned earlier, are mistaking the signs of dementia and thinking that they're just old age. And what happens is that we all, as we age, get a little bit forgetful, we might lose concentration. And essentially, we need to be able to distinguish between what are signs of dementia and what is old age, and how we can help that person to get an early diagnosis.
Wow, that's so powerful. Because before my mum was diagnosed with dementia, I was the one, she used to always laugh at me. It's like, where's my keys? Where's my phone? Where's my keys? Where's my phone? Yeah. I mean, you know, we used to make a joke about it. But now, you know, I'm one of four sisters who we rotate and care for my mum, who is now, as I said, I'm sitting right here next to her. She's in one of, you know, the hospital star beds, totally bed bound, non-verbal now. So it has really moved on. So what are the common misconceptions of poor memory, like put your keys down, forget where you put them, or you put your glasses down like yesterday, forget where you put them, and actually that it could actually be more than just simply forgetting?
Yeah, there are so many different signs, and everybody's journey with dementia is unique, but often people find it difficult to concentrate. They may have difficulty in carrying out familiar tasks, so getting dressing in the right order, or being able to make a simple cup of tea. So I think there are elements that we need to be aware of. But we all also, whenever we're stressed, we tend to be less able to do some of the cognitive functions that we would normally do. So really being able to distinguish that, struggling to follow a conversation or find the right word, being confused about time and place, going out and not being able to find our way home. And quite often people have mood changes. There is sometimes a lack of insight into what's going on. And there's also a fear that people will judge you because perhaps you're making mistakes that you didn't used to make. So I think it's being able to distinguish, is this something that is just happening occasionally, or is it happening all of the time and the person's getting worse? Because we can all sort of cover up little mistakes, but as dementia progresses, it becomes more and more difficult for that person to actually correct themselves. And I think that's the element, and that's why it's important that people get a diagnosis.
Fantastic. So this is where I bring in the wonderful Angela Zahner, because I want to ask you, because I know that you had this experience with your mother as well. So what were the symptoms that your mum had that made you go, hold on, something's not quite right?
I suppose I could catalogue them under the general umbrella of saying it was change in her behaviour. So many things changed about the way that my mother reacted to circumstances. She became very agoraphobic. She did not want to go out. She became very distrustful of people. She became argumentative. She was diagnosed finally back in 2004. I think in the sort of year leading up to that, she became so much more argumentative, and we would have terrible rows, and she would say terrible things to me. And then I realized that I would say, you know, Mummy, you shouldn't say that to me. And then she would suddenly say, oh, Angela, I would never say that to you. And she would forget that she had been so angry with me.
Yeah.
And we'd had a row, which was not doing much for our relationship. But I think I probably noticed it most when she started repeating herself, having forgotten that she told me something. So that on one occasion, I remember it got particularly bad. We were having lunch with a friend of mine, and I said to her in the morning, Mummy, we're going to have lunch today with Thelma, my friend. And she said, oh, well, what shall I wear? And we put some things out on the bed for her. And I went on to do some other work. And about an hour later, she said, where are we going today? And I said, well, we're going to go and have lunch with Thelma. Oh, yes. All right, then. And then a little while later, she came back and she said, what should I wear today? And I said, but you know, Mummy, we've put the things out on the bed for you. Oh, all right. And where are we going? What are we doing? She had no memory at all. And I think, in, you know, my reaction at the time, I think, Mrs. Alpha, crying out loud, you know, I told you this ages ago. The important thing is, when you've got a diagnosis, when you've recognised what the symptoms are, that the person that you are living with, your loved one, your friend, whatever, has an illness, a disease of the brain, rather than it's just getting old and forgetting things. The important thing is then that instead of getting frustrated, having an argument, saying or doing things that make them feel that they've done something wrong, which is going to, you know, affect them emotionally, you recognize that they may be saying it for the third or fourth time, but they only think they said it for the first time. How you have to react. They may be being vitriolic in what they're saying to you. You have to let it wash over you and not take it personally, and then change the subject completely so that it takes their mind off it. You have to learn, once you've got a diagnosis, it's just as important for the carer, for the loved one, as it is for the person who is being diagnosed, because then you know how to deal with the symptoms as they manifest themselves in your lifestyle. And it means then that you can help that person live well with dementia. In simple things like, for instance, great friends of mine who are Italian, who had a big Italian family wedding, they said, oh, you know, Granny's got dementia, she'll never remember any of it, so we don't know whether it's worth inviting her or not. And I said, yes, you must.
Invite her.
Yeah. You must, because it's, you know, after the wedding, I spoke to them and I said, how did it go? And they said, oh, it was fabulous. She didn't have a clue who the pretty girl in white was. She didn't know who the handsome young man was that was dancing with her. But she danced, she laughed, she sang, she and the following day or a couple of days later had no memory of it at all. But
you've got
in
videos
the moment, she lived in the moment.
That's right.
She enjoyed it. And you as a family now will have wonderful memories of her enjoyment.
Yeah. It's funny you say all that. Sorry to cut you. It's funny you say all that, because like you said, it's all those things. And I think one of the key things you said a few minutes ago was how you react to what, to, you know, how they are. Mm-hmm. Because when my mum first started getting it, you know, I would argue with her, my brother would argue with her, you know, she would do things. I think we had this conversation where I said she'd maybe go to the toilet and maybe she'd stop, put her hand in the toilet. You're like, what are you doing? You know, but they don't recognize even just those things. And then my brother would get really angry, start shouting and swearing, but she's not doing it intentionally. My brother's like, oh, she knows right from wrong. No, she actually doesn't. Yep. She doesn't even recognize who she is. And so now, you know, I would take her to my cousins and like you said, took her to my cousins, my cousin's daughter's 30th a year before last. So I've got the pictures of her dancing with all these different strangers and, you know, people taking her around the garden and she's just sort of walking up and dancing and looking back and smiling and all of those little things. And, you know, when she last summer, I took her out in the wheelchair and I took her on the bus and just the way people reacted to her and did things. But the very first time I took her out just before she lost her vocal cords or speech, as soon as we went out, we started pushing down the road. She hadn't said very much at all. But as I started to push her down the road, as clear as day, she said, oh, I've taken her to church. She said, where are we going? I just kind of stopped like that. And I was like, we're going to church. She went, okay. Now she doesn't go to church. I go to church. But that was the clearest thing she said. And since she's been nonverbal, she's called my name once and she called my brother's name once. And there's six of us. She only called our two names. I'm like, we're the special ones. It's doing those things. But I think, you know, recognizing the symptoms is one thing, but also what can people do to kind of, you know, just, I suppose, just in terms of trying to maintain their memory, because I know crossing the left and right hemisphere is really good to do. My mum used to do crossword puzzles and Scrabble, but keeping those things going and not losing them, going for a walk, moving around, activating both sides of the brain, you know, staying hydrated. What are the things that people can do?
Well, before you get into a really terrible state with the latter stages of dementia, do a jigsaw with someone. And, you know, you may not be able to deal with the tiny, tiny pieces, but you can buy big jigsaws that children will use. Jigsaws that activate the brain. Talk to them about, watch a television program together and talk about what you're doing. But as you get further into dementia and further into cognitive changes in your behavior and your ability to understand and to have a conversation, why not have a picture album, a photograph album, go over photographs so that there's something visual on which they can concentrate and talk about the people in them and see who they remember in the photographs or stories they remember about them or places that you've been. So that you're constantly reliving memories, because you will know already, Jenny, that very often it's not your immediate memory that goes. Yeah. Your long-term memory stays. And so you may find, sing to them. All the research that's been done by the Alzheimer's Society demonstrates that the hippocampus at the back of the brain is one of the last places to go. And that's a part of the brain that remembers words and music. So that's sing right. to them. And they may not remember your name, but they will remember the words of the song. And if
that's right, that's what I do too all the time, yeah.
And if your mum is not verbal anymore, at least she will listen to the music and she may move in time with the music. So find ways that you can use that part of the brain that is still functioning, which is usually the long-term memory. And by looking at photographs, if you just talk about someone, if they can't remember that person because they can't visualize what they look like or what their name is, but if you put a photograph of someone in front of them, they may remember the face.
That's right.
It's finding things to stimulate that part of the brain that is still functioning that I think is the important thing to do.
Yeah.
I think also, if I could just cut in, the music is such an important feature in supporting people. It seems to have magical properties, more so than pretty much any drugs.
Oh, it does, but she doesn't dance so much anymore, which is, even in the things she used to just do a shoulder, but that she's not doing that so much. She's a bit,
but it's there, sad, and the melody and tone of your voice is absolutely critical to making that person feel safe. Yes. I think what's really important at this point is to say that there is lots of help out there for families.
Where can they go? Because I know we're going to run out of time. I don't want to get told off.
So we have the big dementia conversation at the moment going, and that's on our website, kuk.com/big dementia conversation. Lots and lots of information, videos, people talking about their experiences, of living with dementia, but also with supporting people living with dementia. And we also have Care UK's free helpline, which is manned by trained colleagues and some of our specialist dementia leads on 03301 732 226. There's lots and lots of information, not only from Care UK, but lots of organisations. But we're here to help. And the Big Dementia Conversation is all about enabling people to access information and to demystify dementia as much as possible.
Oh, Suzanne, thank you very much. You rounded that up beautifully. Angela, as usual, it is a pleasure to speak to you.
Oh, hi, Mum.
She's making lots of noises. She has lots of... It's very lovely. Sweet, though. You've got, that's all the memories you have, and you treasure them. So, guys, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
And love to you and your family.
Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Mum made sure she was a part of my interview, didn't you, Mum? Yeah? You made sure you made a comment. That was so sweet. Anyway, we carry on. We go back to that. So like I said, the 60-day journey starts on the 13th of Jan, and it's an online course. So wherever you are in the world, you can actually log in. And all I do is take you through a transformational journey of actually self-love, improving your self-love, or discovering your self-love, because many, many people don't actually have self-love, and you can just listen to the conversation and see where they are. So your self-love, which will allow your self-care to not just be superficial, not just be an outward appearance, and then your self-awareness will be guided in the right way. And once you actually begin to understand self-love, self-worth, understand the history of where it came from and why you may have struggled, you'll be able to harmonize your hormones and empower your emotions, because that's literally what underpins everything. And when we're looking at dementia, when we're looking at the decline in brain health and the loss of memory, we really are looking at emotional disempowerment, and then we're looking at things that dehydration of the brain and things that affect the brain and bring us to this point where I always said, you know, I think the saddest thing that you can ever happen to you is to look at your children but not even remember that you carried them, that you created them, that you brought them into this world. Isn't that right, Mum? Yeah? I love my mother. She's so beautiful. But once we look at certain things we can do, it's great. So there is a need for us to understand movement that matter. And as we get older, even when we're younger, just being able to understand that. So a lot of the gadgets that we've had for our children when they were young, that we have to try and get them to stand quickly and get them to walk quickly, actually does disrupt the left and right hemisphere. It does disrupt that coordination. And crossing the left and right hemisphere of the body, or performing cross-lateral movements, again, across the body, is good for brain health because, one of the major things that it does is it improves coordination, right? So cross-lateral movements, crawling, walking, swimming, help to improve physical coordination. And when I assess clients, I can look at their physical coordination. When we do what we call infant development exercises, we can see whether that cross-body lateral walking has been developed or is underdeveloped. Carrying the phone, carrying bags, all of those things are disrupting cross-body movements. Because when we walk, when the left foot goes forward and strikes, there should be a counterlateral rotation of the right shoulder coming forwards. And so you've got your internal obliques on one side, the external on the other side. You've got a movement through the waistline that anchors the pelvis and allows the limbs to move. That should be moving and there should be a rotation. What we don't want is the hips to swing from left to right like a mating and calling card. That's a whole other story. But that's what's happening. And coordination really does help us later on in life, especially when, as was mentioned in the interview, when people struggle to do basic things, putting on their clothes and understanding how to do that. It enhances cognitive capacity, which allows your body to process the information differently from the left to right. It helps with thinking activities, which we want people to be able to do. So the cross-lateral movements will help activities like reading, learning a language and focusing. It helps you with decision making. So that can help decisions to balance rationale and emotional responses, which is what we definitely need to do. Balance, that's the emotional empowerment. That's why you are the she and she comes first. The self-love, the self-care, the self-awareness, followed by the hormonal harmony and the emotional empowerment. And it helps to improve problem solving, creativity, what we want, and productivity. So we're balancing the left to the right side of the brain, and that helps us be able to manage those things whilst reduce the stress that we have. And that's why it's really good. But it's also good to know that there are different functions from the left side of the brain to the right side of the brain. But a healthy brain that can continue to learn and be creative throughout life with proper nutrition, physical exercise, and mental stimulation will, by God's grace, help to minimize or reduce or reverse conditions like dementia and Alzheimer's. So we need to be able to look into that in a much better way. And we can do this even with our children. We can start with the children first and keep it going into adulthood. So we start by solving maths problems. My son used to live on Countdown all the time. We look at solving puzzles, so jigsaws and different puzzles, writing, reading, because that's an exercise to develop both the right and left side of the brain. So we can look at learning a new language, which is really good. We can look at playing games that require imagination, and we can even look at intelligence and strategy games. So brain teasers are really good things for us to be able to have and understand. And that really does, by doing those things there, by having those things there and understanding the reason why we synchronize brain hemispheres is because it improves our sleep. It helps us to be more creative. It improves our imagination, right? It improves our immunity. It enhances our mental processing. It reduces stress. We have less fatigue and the potential reduction in addictive tendencies are just some of the reasons why these things are worth getting involved in and understanding and really knowing that we have that. Now, I hadn't heard of this golden brain, but it's really quite interesting. But you can look all this up on Google as well for yourself. But people who have balanced both their right side and their left side are known to have a golden brain, because people are usually seen as either having being more logical or being more creative. So one side of the brain is more dominant than the other. But a person that has equally dominant sides, left and right, is perceived as having a creative, free-spirited, rigid and logical brain all at the same time. That's what's called a golden brain. So would you say that you have, are you more creative and free-spirited? Are you more rigid and logical? Or would you actually say you have a good balance of both? Because that's the golden question. Let's play the last trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Isn't it interesting? Because when we look at health, when we think about what we want, we think about being fit, we think about being healthy, we think about being able to do the things we want. I want to be happy, I want to be successful, I want to be fit, I want to be this, I want to be that. But we never think to ourselves, I want to maintain my brain health. I want to be able to keep my memory. I want to be able to remember things today in our future tomorrows, years from now. And so therefore, if we want to have those memories, if we want to keep those things, then what we need to be able to do is keep our brain healthy. We need to recognize the differences between the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. And the left side of the brain is typically associated with logic, language, and critical thinking, whilst the right side focuses on creativity, emotion, and imagination. So there's two different sides, and we need that. But we want to be able to know, you know, this is great. So which side of the brain is responsible for memory? And the side of the brain responsible for memory is the left side, whereas the right side retains information about the word's physical form. So this is what we want to remember, that the right side takes the memory from the left and connects an emotion to it, and then it's obviously it's stored. So when we want to activate the whole brain, it's really important for us, like I said, to be able to remember what I showed you. It's be able to, you know, think about puzzles, think about learning a new skill, think about even like playing cards. That's a great way of really using the brain. And dominoes, those things where you have to think, logic, and do whatever else but still have fun. But learn a new skill, learn to listen to or play music, to dance to music, dance your heart out. So, you know, build up your vocabulary. These are things that can help us. And as we get older and we may lose friends and we may lose people around us, we need to try and make sure that we stimulate the parents we have so that they can keep the memories that we've created. And I think one of the most precious things that Angela said, and it's really important, I took my mum out in a wheelchair and took her out. Some people worry about, you know, the outer appearance, but it's not about what I do with my mum. It's about the experience she'll have in the moment. Even if she forgets it 2 seconds later, it's just about how she lives in that moment. Because it's one thing to recognise you don't have control of your brain, but it's another thing to actually not be able to speak and use it at all, because then it just dies off even more. So that makes it really hard. And we have to think about, you know, the emotions and depression. They're hand in hand. So that the hypothalamus, it functions to kind of regulate the emotions to levels of pleasure, sexual desire, anger, aggression. It goes to two ends of the spectrum and right in the middle. So we got to think about the triggers that happen in the hypothalamus that then move on to the amygdala, which attaches the emotion to the experience, and then it's stored in the hippocampus. So we've got to think about emotional regulation, and we've got to understand that. Then we've got to understand foods. We've got to understand what happens. We've got to understand where the left side of the brain is associated with processing and speaking and reading. It also impacts our sleep and our ability to sleep and our ability to switch off. So we've got to be able to think about those things. And intelligence and critical thinking may seem the same, but the same, same, but different. So there's so much to it. It's actually quite, there's a great book by, oh, I forgot, Ray Griffiths called Depression. I interviewed that man a couple of years ago. That's a really great book to have, to be able to see. And you want to be able to do that. And to understand, like I said, the amygdala. So I looked this up on, again, like I said, you can look it up and you can go deeper. There's so much to read. He talks about these also in his book. I'm not at home to record this, so I can't give that there. But the amygdala and hypothalamus have reciprocal connections. And the amygdala plays a role in processing information between the two. So if you look at the amygdala to the hypothalamus, what it does, it projects the amygdala's central nucleus projects to the hypothalamus via the stria terminals. So again, it's getting a bit deep, but it's via obviously neurons and sensory pathways. And it sends a distress signal to the hypothalamus when someone experiences a stressful event. Whereas the hypothalamus to the amygdala, it feeds information into the amygdala, and then whilst the hypothalamus regulates the emotions like pleasure, aggression, anger, and sexual desire, the amygdala is involved primarily in the emotional response to the event. And so what it does, it, like I said, it attaches the emotional content to the memories, which determines how well the memories you have will be stored. So, wow, it's just like, we can do meditation, we can do controlled breathing to actually help us focus on the body's energy. But we can look into brain foods as well, because we need to think about how we feed ourselves. We want vitamin B12, which is really good for the brain and developing central nervous system, especially in babies. So we want to look at food. So eggs are really good. And chlorine, which is essential to the, an essential micronutrient, to the body, actually helps to regulate mood and memory. So it's produced in the liver in small amounts, but we want to get it from good foods. And so you're going to eat eggs. Please eat organic free-range eggs. You want oranges, because they help, the vitamin C helps, and other foods help decrease mental decline, so increase your vitamin C. Nuts are really good because they're rich in healthy fats, they're rich in antioxidants, they're rich in vitamin E, which really helps the health of the brain. And obviously vitamin E protects against free radical damage, which will help slow mental decline. Now remember, you can take it in the form of food. And obviously topically, so I use vitamin E on my face every day. That is my That is my cream. That is my oil. Dark chocolate has flavonoids and antioxidant compounds, which is really good for you. Pumpkin seeds. I did some chicken wings for my sons the other day and I put pumpkin seeds on them. Pumpkin seeds are amazing. But zinc is the element which is crucial for nerve signaling. So this is what happens. Everything, the synapses, the processes, we pass them to and from electrical impulses on nerve roots. So zinc is linked to many neurological conditions, including Alzheimer's, depression, and Parkinson's, and zinc deficiency, sorry. So it's really important. Magnesium for learning and memory. And again, that's also linked to many neurological diseases, including migraine, depression, and epilepsy. So we have to look at that. Another great book to get is called The Magnesium Miracle by somebody, Dean. I've forgotten her name. It'll come back to me in a minute. Magnesium Miracle. Fantastic book. And remember, not all magnesium is created the same. So get the book, read it, and find out where you are. Copper, which the body doesn't make. It helps to control the nerve signals. And imbalances in your copper levels may increase the risk of neurodegenerative disorders such as Alzheimer's. Now, all of these are in pumpkin seeds, by the way. And iron is often categorized by brain fog and impaired brain function. So that's just what's in pumpkin seeds. What I've just read to you there. Broccoli is packed with powerful antioxidants. It has vitamin K. So it delivers more than 100% of the recommended daily intake. So that's really good for us as well. And it's a fat-soluble vitamin, which is really important for forming a type of fat that is densely packed into our brain cells. So we need these things. So when it comes to our health, you know, many people avoid fats, but you need good fats, you need good foods. So you need to understand what it is you're eating. Well, we know turmeric is a great friend of ours, should be a great friend to most people. Some people find it hard to take in juices because when it goes straight into the bloodstream, they have a different reaction, but they can sprinkle it into and cook it into food. But remember, to release the curcumin in turmeric, you must have the presence of black pepper. But it may benefit memory because curcumin can help improve memory. It also helps to boost your serotonin and your dopamine. So that's your happy hormones. So that will help to improve your mood, which is really good. Yeah. And that can go against the symptoms of depression and anxiety. But it also helps new brain cells to grow. Now, just on that point there, the hippocampus can actually regenerate new neural pathways and cells by giving it the right foods. And that's not just the vitamins and minerals, the fats, the carbohydrates and the protein, but it's also the thoughts, it's also the sleep, it's also the hydration and the breath. So when we go into She Comes First and we dig into and discover our self-love and our self-care and our self-awareness, and we start to understand its impact on our emotional empowerment and hormonal harmony, our he in our she, we start to see the masculine and the feminine come together. Because she is, the whole word is feminine, and the take away the S and it's masculine. And it's about masculine and feminine energy and understanding that and the acidity that comes from that on the body. And then the impact on our connections, our oxygen, our movements that matter, our exercise, our sleep, that's our comes, and our food, our intimate health, our rehydration, our sunlight, and our thoughts, that's first. So every letter has within it the ability to teach you something about health that's going to get you where you need to be. And it's a fantastic journey. You get online, they're not long, but it just give you snippets of information and set small tasks so that you can start to make small adjustments. It's just one small thing daily put into place and required. And it may just require you to use the brain that I'm talking about right now so that it helps you to retain the memory and the experiences you've had in the past and be able to replace those negative emotions with more positive ones so that you can replace poor memories and experiences for much better ones. Because the Bible says your latter days are better than your former days. Blueberries. Oh, I'm a lover of blueberries. Oh my gosh. Anthocyanins, a group of plant compounds with anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects, are in blueberries. And of course, antioxidants can help fight against oxidative stress and inflammation and contribute to brain aging, which contributes to brain aging and degenerative diseases. So when you think about oxidative stress, you don't always think about the inflammation and the degeneration of brain health. But nothing happens in one place and doesn't affect another. So I want to leave it there. Fatty fish is the last one I want to talk about, which is really important. So your salmon, your trout, your albacore tuna, your herrings, your sardines, even your mussels are really good for you. There's so many things to it that it's hard to cover it all in one show. But if you email me, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com, if you send me a message, DM on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter at Pelvic Secrets, Papa Echo Lima, Victor Indigo Charlie, Sierra Echo Charlie, Romeo Echo Tango Sierra, Pelvic Secrets, PelvicSecrets, I will respond. I will send you the link. But it's a new year. I declare this year the year of the woman. Reclaiming her intimate health, maintaining the memories that she has created, and living a life that is so full of vitality and vigor. It's just a beautiful thing to witness. But until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe.